Good evening. As I announced last week, we're starting today a new series about Tehillim, Psalms. After the Torah, the most famous book in Judaism is Psalms, Tehillim. Every house has it. Every Jew reads it. Some weekly, some daily. Some twice a day. It's something that basically can't live without it. We're going to give the introduction today to explain where it came, what's the sources of the Tehillim. And then, Bezrat Hashem, every week we will do the chapters. There's 150 different chapters. We will explain one after the other until we finish this series. The one thing we should know that most of the Jewish prayers are based on this book, Tehillim, that was written approximately 3,000 years ago, time of King David. It was translated to many different languages, perhaps to any language you can think of. There are people in China reading that in Chinese, it's in Arabic, it's in English, it's in Spanish, it's in Russian. It's in any major language you know, you have it there. Why? Because this is things that actually attract not only Jews, it attracts also Gentiles. And it's a book that is capable of making huge miracles and wonders to the life of a human being. Since the book was written with the divine influence, divine inspiration and influence of Hashem, of the creator of the world, of all the 10 people who wrote it, the major ones is David HaMelech, his son Shlomo, there's a few other ones. It's all been written in a prophecy in Ruach HaKodesh. That's why, it's no wonder why it's a part of the Tanakh. The Tanakh has 24 books. And the 24 books of the Tanakh, Tehillim is one of them. And as I said, most of the prayers are based on the book of Tehillim. Every day's prayers, Shabbat prayers, Yom Kippur prayers, Rosh Hashanah, the holidays, everything. So you can't move a day without it. That's why it's very important to know, because many of you probably read it. Unfortunately, there are people who only read it in the times of tragedies or times of problems. But the idea is that a person should praise God and sing all these praises that were the greatest ones that were ever said in history on a daily basis. There used to be a very, very big rabbi in Israel named Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, he was perhaps the chief rabbi, not only he moved to Israel from Europe, but he was the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world about 50 years ago. And Chazon Ish was learning non-stop Torah. It was very, very thin, because he was sometimes for days did not eat. He was very focusing in the Torah. He was very fragile, very skinny. But his life was the Torah. He was a man of the truth. And the books that he wrote are great not only to our times. They're great even if you go back 1,000 years in history. Even if this book were written in the time of the Rambam or Rashi, there would still be something special. It wasn't just a regular person. So the Chazon Ish, one time, since he was learning nonstop and sitting and not eating properly in the right time, so he had stomach problems. So the doctors told him that in order for him to have normal exits and to go to the bathroom regularly without problems, so he has to walk for about half an hour a day. He has to walk. That helps the stomach to digest, to release all the waste. He has to walk. You cannot sit all your life, sit. You have to do some activity. You have to walk. And those days in Bnei Brak, it wasn't like today. Today you cannot move there because it's very, very crowded. You don't have one vacant lot. It's all buildings and houses. But in those days, there were many orchards. So there was an orchard right by him, so he used to walk there. They have some trees. So, while he was walking, obviously he's learning in his mind. There was an old man there, religious man, who was a very zealous religious man. He used to scream to him. He was young. He wasn't so old in those days. He used to scream to him in Hebrew, "Batlan, lech lilmod, lazy. Go to yeshiva to learn Torah. Don't, why are you walking here in a forest, in an orchard?" But he didn't know who he is. He used to scream to him from the window, "So if you don't learn, at least go and read Tehillim. You don't want to learn Torah, you have to read Tehillim, read Psalms." Tov, this is the story. Every day he comes back, and the old man is screaming, and the next day the old man is screaming. He said, "Well, if this old man picking on me, especially on me every day, has nothing else to do in his life, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me a message. Perhaps Hashem wants me to read Tehillim." A few years later, this old man got very sick, and I said to him, "There is a very big rabbi, giant rabbi, the biggest in the world, that maybe we should take you to him to get a bracha." And this old man said, "Okay, take me to him." And they took him to this little house of the Chazon Ish, who lived in very, very simple apartment. When he walked in and he saw him, this old man, he didn't know if to smile or to cry. He got the shock of his life, started to beg him, "Rabbi, forgive me, I wouldn't know. You walk in a forest like this, I'm so sorry." The Chazon Ish told him, "Why, I owe you so much. Thanks to you, I'm reading Tehillim every day. My life is not the same. Changed my whole life. Even someone as a big chacham who is in the highest level of Torah, he could not, he basically told this old man, my life after reading Tehillim, after he started to scream, and the life that I had before, it's not the same. So don't think that if somebody is a huge, giant chacham, Tehillim is bitul Torah." Sometimes you speak to people who learn Gemara, which is the highest level of learning. Or, you know, so you come to them and say, "Do you read daily Tehillim?" You say, "What Tehillim? It's a shame to waste 20, 30 minutes a day reading Tehillim. Better to learn Torah." In general, it's a general rule that the Torah is the highest thing. There's nothing you can do about it. That's it. The highest learning is Gemara. But the problem is that Tehillim is not only something that it's, you know, praying or learning. It's a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it purifies the neshama in a special way. Plus, is, you know, when you praise Hashem, and there's a lot of requests over there. "Help me, save me, connect me to you, show me a way." It's wonderful words. If somebody understands Hebrew and he reads it, it's very hard not to have tears. If you pay attention to the words, you may say, "Well, I know a lot of Israelis who read it daily and they're not crying." The answer is, either they became robots, they read it every day, so you're not thinking about what you say. But the main reason is that those Israelis, doesn't matter how big is their yarmulke and their beard, they don't understand the words. Why? Because it's not regular Hebrew. Though half of the words of Tehillim, an average Israeli from the university does not understand. Therefore, if you only understand half or 40% of what you read, it's a little bit hard to communicate. That's why we're making this series. We're going to try to understand a little bit more of what we're going to do. So we see that even someone like Chazon Ish was paying attention to learn Tehillim every day. However, the question is, why someone that you ask him to read Tehillim and he learns Gemara, he may think that it's bitul Torah for him. It means it's a waste of time compared to what he used to do before. The answer is because in the Torah, there are different levels of learning. If somebody can learn in the highest level and he goes to a lower level, he's basically not fulfilling his full potential. That means he's wasting some time. Where do we see that there's such a thing? You may come and say, "Who cares what kind of Torah I learn? Whether I learn Gemara, I learn Chumash, I learn Halakha, or I read Tehillim. It's all Tanakh. It's all words of God. So what difference does it make? I'm in a mood for this now. Tomorrow I'll do this, the next day this, next month this. Who cares what?" The answer, it's not true, because there's Halakha in a Gemara, in Masechet Megillah, It says, "Mevatlim Talmud Torah mipnei kriyat Megillah." People that sit and learn in yeshivot, they are obligated to close the Gemara and to go home and to, and to light the Chanukah candles. But that's not what I said. Mevatlim Talmud Torah mipnei kriyat Megillah means you close the Gemarot and you take out the Megillat Esther and you begin to read the Megillah. Why the Torah has to teach us that you're allowed to close the Gemara in order for you to read the Megillah? Why do you need permission for that? Isn't it obvious? Who cares what kind of Torah I'm learning? I finished Gemara, now I want to do Megillat Esther. This is Torah, this is Torah, this is all from the same God. The answer is because Megillat Esther is in a lower level than Gemara. If you leave something in a high level and go to something in a low level, you're not doing something very positive. You're going reverse. That's why some people may think about Tehillim. But the answer, it's not true. Why? Because just to learn Torah without tefillah, it's not good. Just to say tefillah without Torah, it's also not good. You need most of the time Torah, but you also need tefillah. And Tehillim is the greatest tefillah. We have to start to understand why the name of this book is Tehillim. Tehillim comes from the word Tehillah. What does it mean, Tehillah? Glory, to praise, praises. It's glory, fame. Fame, it's glory. Tehillim means to praise someone. You know, many words in the Torah, Mehalel, Nehalel, Yehalel, V'anachnu Nehalel Yah. Nehalel means we will praise you, Yah, which means God. But the question is, why do they call it Tehillim in plural? It should have called the book Tehillah, praise. Tehillim, it's a very, if you know a little bit the correct way of the Hebrew language, it's a little bit strange word. It should have been Tehillah. Or Tehillot. If you want to say in plural, you say praise, it's in, and then praises, it's in plural. So it should be Tehillah, Tehillot, not Tehillim. The plural of Tehillah, it's Tehillot. Tehillot Lael Elyon, Goalam, Baruch Hu Mvorach, Moshe Uvnei Israel. That's what we say every morning in the Tefillah. Tehillot Lael Elyon. Praises to God, Tehillot, not Tehillim. So the answer is, they call it Tehillim, Divrei Shevach, words of praises. And in the chapter 72, it says, Kalu Tefillot David Ben Ishai. 72 first chapters, the words of King David. And then Chazal decided to call this book, instead of Tehillot, Tehillim. Also, there's another question, why they didn't call it Tefillot? After all, it's a combination of praising God and also requesting things, which means it's Tefillah. What's Tefillah? Tefillah comes from the word Mefalel. Mefalel means wishing, wishes. I'm expressing my wishes from you, God. So one way or the other, it could have been Tehillot, or it could have been Tefillot, but they decided to call it Tehillim, and we're going to understand later why. Also, in English, they call it Psalms. Where does it come from? Where does this word come from? From the Greek language. Many of the words in English come from the Greeks. The Greeks, in Greeks, they call it Psalmoi. Psalmoi. Psalmoi, what does it meaning, the word psalmoi in Greek? Right? So the meaning is mizmorim, songs. In Greek, psalmoi means songs, which that's what Tehillim is. Every one of the 150 chapters is singing to Hashem. In many shuls, they have choir, they come in the middle of the night, Friday night, in Yerushalayim, in the old city, in the Bukharian neighborhood of Yerushalayim, which is more than 120 years old. There are people sitting in those old ancient shul that they are built in the beginning of the 1900 or even before. Some of those old shuls, you can see the way they look, just like the old days. They are teenagers. They come and they sit all night. They come like midnight, around 1 o'clock, and they learn all night. They read Tehillim, all kinds of songs to Hashem, until they go to Shachrit, they pray Shachrit, and then they go home to do the Kiddush. Teilim, we know that Tanakh has 24 books. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketubim. Torah, 5 books of Moses. Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. Right after that comes Sefer Yoshua and the Shoftim and all that. And then we have all the Nevi'im. And there is something that we call Ketubim. That's give us the name Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketubim, abbreviation Tanakh. Taf Torah, Nu Nevi'im, Chaf Ketubim. Teilim belongs to where? To Torah, to Nevi'im, or to Ketubim? To Ketubim. Which one of the books of Ketubim Teilim is? First, second, third, which one? The answer, in the right order, Teilim is the first one in the books of Ketubim. The Gemara in Masechet Baba Batra, page 14, the Gemara say that really the right order should be that Teilim is the second one after the Megillat Rut. The Megillah of Rut, the legendary convert Rut, that without her we wouldn't have David HaMelech and the Mashiach and all this wonderful, plan of Hashem, thanks to this convert Ruth HaMoaviyah that came from Moab, right? But in Eretz Israel, Baalei HaMesorah, they decided that the Tehilim, the book of Tehilim, Baalei HaMesorah Be'eretz Israel will be, like the Gemara said, there will be the second one. But according to them, so we see that it wasn't agreed by everyone the orders of the book of the Tanakh. There's different Mesorot, different orders. Some of them come from Aram Tzova, which is Syria, the old Syria. Some of them come from Leningrad, which is in Europe. There's different orders in some of the parts. Today, everywhere you go, you have the same Tanakh, that's it. But we're talking hundreds of years back or thousands of years back. There is a history of that. The more you learn, the more, the deeper and deeper you get, you find more and more things. Now, when we look at the Tanakh, which one of the books is books of singing, Shira, that we call it Shira. Shira means in Hebrew singing. So it's the second book among the groups of books that is in, that are singing. Which one is the first one? From the 24 books of the Tanakh, which one is considered the first singing one? Iyov, the book of Iyov. And the book of Iyov, Arishon Iyov. And the last one is Esther. Esther. So, the question now, we have 150 chapters of Tehilim. Is it agreed by everyone that there's 150, or there's different opinion that is more or less? We find today that the Tehilim of the Sfaradim, the Tehilim of the Ashkenazim, same one. Usually, when you have different Sidurim, there's some changes between Sidurim. You have different texts, different nusachim. But Tehilim, same one. Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, everywhere you go. But the truth is that the original way was 147 mizmorim. Three mizmorim, they were broken into two. It really is a question if they consider one or you consider them two. For different reasons that we're going to learn while we're going with our series, they decided to go into this even number of 150, but it easily could have been broken to 147 mizmorim. For instance, when we say, Ashrei Yoshve Betecha Od Ya'alu Chasela, Ashrei Am Shekacha Lo, Ashrei Am Shehashem Elokav, Teila LeDavid. Is this one mizmor or two? Consider it one mizmor or two. There's some doubts about certain mizmorim, if you consider them one song or two different songs. How many people all together responsible for the 150 mizmorim of Tehilim? As I said in the beginning, 10 different ones. Also, we're going to speak about them, who were the ones that responsible to write this 150 mizmorim. The first mizmor that was written in a creation, Who knows which one it was? First time someone wrote a song to God in a history of this world. Who was he and when? Do you know? I can hear. Adam HaRishon. Which Mizmor Adam HaRishon wrote? Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbat. מזמור שיר ליום השבת, טוב להודות להשם ולזמר שמך עליון. We say it on Friday, in תפילת מנחה of שבת. We say מזמור שיר ליום השבת. This is the song that אדם הראשון wrote. As you can see in this מזמור, there's a serious prophecy. תודה, תסכן המצווה. ברוך אתה אדוני, מלך העולם שהכל נהיה לדברו. Some of the mizmorims in the Tehillim, they begin in a different word. Some of them start with the word shir. Some of them start with the word mizmor. Some of them start with the word tefillah. Some of them start with the word tehillah, tehillah le David. But Chazal, when they speak about all these 150 chapters, they call all of them mizmorim, even though there are different kind of mizmorim. We have to understand why sometimes it's mizmor, sometimes it's kina, sometimes it's shir. All of them, technically, in a modern Hebrew, most people don't know what's the difference between shir and mizmor. They'll tell you mila nirdefet, similar word. There's no such thing in Judaism, similar word. Because every word, even if it sounds 100% to them, to the understanding of the people, it sounds the same. The fact that there is a different word to the same thing, it means that there's something unique about it. There's no two words that are identical, like in English or in Spanish or in other languages, that they decided to make more than two or three words for this verb or whatever. In the Jewish language, in the Torah, if there are two words that sound similar, you have to investigate to know there's at least one difference between them. You know, sometimes it's indicated about the age of your life, sometimes it indicates who gave it, sometimes there's a hidden secret in it. There's a lot of different reasons, but there's no coincidence why sometimes it's called by one name and sometimes it's called by another name. Also, Chazal, as I started to explain, in the beginning, they wrote that there are 147 mizmorim in Tehillim, like the years of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the founder of the Jewish nation. His name changed to Israel. His name was changed to Israel. How many years Yaakov lived? 147. One mizmor for every one of the life of the Holy Father of the Jewish nation. But as I told you, three of those mizmorim are broken to two, which gives us exactly 150. Now, the mizmorims that have machloket, which one of them, is mizmor Aleph and Bet in Masechet Brachot, page 9, if it's considered one or two mizmorim. Also, mizmorim Tet and Yud, 9 and 10, is it one or two? In the old days, we considered them one. Today, we consider them two. And the third one, mizmor 42 and 43, is it one or two? When Mashiach come, we'll know. For now, we go, based on the books that we have today, that they are considered two. Then, there are five books in Tehillim. The Tehillim is divided to five different books, just like the five books of Moshe, five books of Moses, one for each one of the Chumshe Torah. This first book, how many mizmorim it has? First book, who reads Tehillim Elad here? First book, how many mizmorim it has? First book, the first book of Tehillim, 41 songs. That's the first book out of the five. The second, 31 songs. 31, and that's where it says, Kalu Tfilot David Ben Ishai. The prayers of David, son of Ishai, King David, is ending right here. Which means 41 plus 31, 72 songs, David HaMelech. Almost half of the book. David HaMelech, more than any other one of the nine he wrote. Then, the third book of Tehillim, 17 songs, 17 mizmorim. The fourth book of Tehillim, also 17 songs. And the fifth one, 44 mizmorim, together 150. Some Tehillim are, we still have Tehillim from the ancient days, like in handwriting, which was fortunate. Like, you know, like in the old days, they on a cloth that they have from long, long, long time ago. Some of them came with beautiful artwork on the side, all kinds of drawing, which is incredible. That the value of that is many, many millions of dollars in certain museums in different parts of the world. According to the counting, if we count, if we divide Tehillim to verses in our books today, how many verses we have in the book? How many verses in the book of Tehillim? It's the Alpaim, 2,527 psukim, 2,527 verses. And also, the orders of the Tehillim, the Baalei HaMesorah, the Chachamim that passed the tradition, they divided the Tehillim to 19 Sdarim, 19 groups, as it appears in the handwriting of the Tehillim of Chtav Yad of Leningrad. Also, the five books of Tehillim, also, this is the way they divided. The first book has five different groups, divided to five groups. The second is four groups. The third, two groups. The fourth one, two groups. The fifth one, five. All together, like I say, 19. Now we're going to explain a little bit about this Mizmorim, to go a little bit deeper to some of the secrets inside of them. The kind of ketubot, the way it's written, most of the Mizmorei Tehillim, they have hint in the beginning to the one that wrote it. It's actually saying the name of the writer, most, not all. You know, for instance, we can give like Mizmor le David. So we know David wrote it. Bnei Korach. Sons of Korach, there's one Mizmor that they mentioned their name. So there are a few Mizmorim that gives the name, like Le David Mizmor. So we also know it's David. There are eight different ways that it appears the names of the writers in Tehillim. The word Mizmor, it starts with Mizmor. How many times it appears in Tehillim? 57 times. When it starts with Shir, 30 times. Maskil, some of the Mizmorim start with Maskil, 13 times. Michtam le David, Michtam, 6 times. Tefila, it starts with Tefila, 5 times. Shigayon, 1 time. Shira, 1 time. Teila, 1 time. The words Mizmor, in modern Hebrew, it's a song. But we have to know what is the difference between Mizmor and Shir and Shira. It's different words. We will learn it soon, Bezrat Hashem. Mizmor and Michtam are unique words. What's unique about them? You don't find them anywhere in the Tanakh. The entire 20 book of Judaism, you don't find those words, Mizmor and Michtam, only here in Tehillim. Shigayon, it's also very unique, but we find it one more time in the Tanakh. Where? Who knows where? In a book of Habakkuk Hanavi, Habakkuk, one of the prophets, it says over there, Tefila leChabakkuk Hanavi al Shigionot. Doesn't say Shigion, Shigion in single, Shigionot plural. Only time that this word appeared, it's very, very unique words that you don't find them anywhere else. It appears in Habakkuk. The words maskil. What does it mean, maskil? It says, today when you say maskil, they mean someone who went to college, has a degree. But when the Torah says maskil, mishamayim mibit Hashem, lirot ayesh maskil, doresh el Hashem. From heaven, Hashem is looking down all the time to search, maybe he can find someone that is maskil. What does it mean, maskil? Educated, smart. But in the eyes of God, who is considered to be maskil? Not someone who went to good university. We can have a perfect example from our president, Obama. Went to Harvard Law School. You have to be a smart person to get there. Fool cannot get in. But he behaved sometimes like the dumbest person in history. The new thing from him now, he wants to bring all the African people from Africa that has Ebola, he wants to bring them to the United States to take care of them here, which in 3-4 months he will destroy the United States. Sometimes I'm wondering, maybe he's a messenger to destroy this country. Besides the things that he does against Israel, I'm talking as an American citizen here. President that wants to bring people that have a virus, a disease, that the whole world is shaking, not to let this kind of people in before everybody will die. His idea is to bring all of them here to take care of them. Even when he saw that some of the nurses that took care of some of the patients already got it. So no matter how careful you are in a hospital, you can get it from the blanket, you can get it from the air, you can get it from sneezing, you can get it from different kinds of ways. From touching the things and then touch your mouth or your eyes. There's different ways to get it. Who would bring cancer into his own home? Who would bring somebody with AIDS to live in his own home? Who knows what's next? Tomorrow he's gonna cut his hand and touch something and then I touch it and then I put my finger in my mouth and who knows what, you know, and the germs can mix and the next thing, your life is over. But that's an example how a person can be very educated in university, but still can be very, very far from being maskil. What they call in Israel, Baal Askala, they live in a dream. We have to know who God called maskil. It could be an American simple person who never went to college, is a million times more clever than someone who went to the best university. Why? He's street smart, he detects things, he sees a few steps ahead, he's very clever, he knows what to do, what not to do, without all this fancy education. On the other hand, there's somebody who has photographic memory, he remembers hundreds of books by heart, he remembers dates, he remembers a lot of things, but that's called in the Torah, Chamor Nose Sfarim, a donkey that carries books on his back, which means it's an insult, not a compliment. Today, if you find a person that comes and say, I can tell you 50 books by heart now, you ask me anything, any line, you start it and I'll finish it. Wow, Gdol Ador, Rav Ovadia has competition now. Everyone is in shock. Wow, look how his memory, remember every page. Very impressive, not saying no. But it could be the dumbest person on earth. You ask him to get halacha, he will always tell you the opposite. He remembers everything by heart. But the brain is not functioning correctly. There's no right order. He doesn't know how to learn one thing from another. The wisdom is not developed. Just to remember, you can go and remember hundreds of books. You want to be a lawyer. So you remember the whole Constitution by heart. Autistic kids, they look at the page, 1 second, they know the whole thing. You test them, 1 second, like this, they'll tell you everything they just saw. It's like taking a picture. They even made a movie about it. You saw the movie Rain Man? Some of you were not born when it was made. 30 years ago, something like that. That they throw hundreds of matches on the floor, and right away you say how many matches fell on the floor. In less than a second. Or like in a book. How many pages are in a book just by looking at it from the side? It's incredible things. Today we have few people in the world that their memory is so great that if you take a needle and you make a hole in a Gemara with small letters, hundreds of pages in each Gemara, if you take a needle and make holes through the pages, before you turn the page, they'll tell you in what word it made a hole in the next page. That's how they have the entire pictures of every one of the page, thousands of pages. However, if you argue with them about learning something deep, you are surprised. You expect a lot more from them. But you see, the brain is very good with memory. That's a part of the brain. But the other part of the brain, which has to be a detective, is very, very low. And that's why we find so many politicians that everything that comes out of their mouth is the dumbest thing you can ever hear. And people go and they are impressed because they're rich and wealthy and they went to good universities, but in reality, it can be a shoemaker from 47th Street or someone who sells gold and is much, much more clever than them. For instance, there are many people today that are very educated, but they cannot tell the difference between good and bad. They just can't. What's good, they call bad. What's bad, they call good. Always. They will always, whatever the Gemara say, there are people that whatever they tell you, you have to do right away the opposite. Right away. So I don't want to say who is the people, because I don't want to offend anyone. We may be in that category. That's why I won't say who, but there are people, the Gemara categorize them. If these kind of people tell you something, go and do exactly the opposite. Because they will always tell you the wrong thing to do. They mean well, do the opposite. It reminds me, one time I went to the bank and I saw a guy that is excited in his 20s, he's investing in the stock market, he discovered America. So he came, there was one stock called Sirius satellite, radio, satellite radio. It started those days, a few years ago. So he went from $2 to $4. He doubled his money in a few days. So he saw me in the bank. He say, if you're smart, you go quickly and buy this stock. Every day goes up like crazy, from morning to nine, up, 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 up. I used to know one guy here from Queens that was an expert in the stock market. I told him someone just saw me in the bank and he told me he bought it a few days ago and in a few days it doubled, the money doubled. The next day, this expert told me, thank you very much, Rabbi. Thanks to your friend, I made today $200,000. So I said to him, what? He said, yes, the stock crashed. So I said to him, but I told you to buy. He said, but I know when those fools on the street talk like that, to do the opposite. I short the stock. Imagine if we'd listen to what this guy told me. I'm going to be the broker in such a loss. It could have been the other way around. So this is an example. Sometimes you have to do the opposite. Depend who's the one who talks to you. So it says like this. Mishamayim ishkif Hashem. Hashem is watching from heaven. Lirot ayesh maskil doresh el Hashem. Who is an educated person? A requester of Hashem. Someone who is on a search to Hashem. He has only one search engine in his brain. One word. That's it. Any other word you put, it doesn't accept. It's not like Google. You can put whatever you want. In his computer, only one word, Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, few words. Why? That's his goal in life. Everything else is not so important. It's secondary. What's my life? My next step is going to be something Hashem wants or is against it. My next word is something Hashem approve or he disapprove. My marriage, who am I going to marry, this girl or this girl? This is the girl that Hashem would approve or not? And this apartment that I'm about to rent, is it something Hashem is happy with or no? Most of the time people know the answer, but they choose to ignore it. If a Jew lives in a very kosher neighborhood, and then somebody offered him a job and he wants to move to San Francisco when all the filthy people walks there on the street and make Hashem angry with their crimes. You want to raise children around these sinners? Sodom and Gomorrah is better than them. And look what was their end in the Torah. You want to live there because they give you an extra $1,000 a month? Rabbi, Parnasa. Parnasa? Come, I'll make you a hitman. In New York, you make more than San Francisco. Parnasa. Parnasa, Parnasa, it's important. Parnasa permits to be a murderer. Parnasa permits to be Mechalel Shabbat. Parnasa permits to be a crook, to steal people money and to make them to destroy their life. What does it mean, Parnasa? Parnasa, it's allowed as long as you're not violating the divine laws. If it makes you violate one law, you're a criminal. Criminals make a lot of money in this world. And then they pay for this money with a huge interest, more than the Italian mafia. And in case you don't know, the Italian mafia charge 5% a week if you don't pay them on time. You understand? And they don't need guarantors. Here, they're calling to collect now. Now, it says like this. Sometimes it says shir, sometimes it says mizmor, sometimes it says shir mizmor. So what is it, shir or mizmor? Two words. We have to understand all these things. In the head of 55 songs of the Tehillim, it starts with the word lamnatzeach. It always the first word on the chapter, on the Mizmor. You do not find this word anywhere in the entire Tanakh, Lamnatzeach. Only here in Tehillim. Also, we find one more thing. It says like this. Mizmor le David, lamnatzeach le David, michtam le David, lamnatzeach al machalat. All these languages have different deep meanings. We have to understand what it means. When we go through the mizmorim, we'll understand exactly what they are. Sometimes there is a letter lamed before the name of a person. As we said before, 100 of the Mizmore Tehillim from the 150, they hint who's the one who wrote this Mizmor. Right? Sometimes it comes with Lamed. Le David. What does it mean in Hebrew, Le David? To David. Doesn't make a lot of sense. How? If you want to write a song, and you want your name to be in a song, why would you write in a song to David? You should write from David. No? To David means I wrote a song to David. So I'm writing a song, I say from Yosef to David. But if I am David, I'm not going to write to David. What, I'm writing for myself? Did you ever think about it before or no? How we can translate this Lamed? One way to understand it, the Chachamim were trying to investigate what does it mean, because it's a little bit confusing. So they say one way is that this is the name of the person who wrote this mizmor. So but why they put the lamed in front? Because the lamed is like, even though I wrote this song for Hashem, but this song is, has to do a lot with my own life. I'm writing about myself, but while I'm writing about myself, like a diary, I also praise and pray and beg Hashem to save me. Like many of these mizmorim, David HaMelech wrote to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him from his enemies in a time of war, when against his son, Avshalom, that went chased him out of his house, and he had to go and hide in tunnels, and he went and stole all his women. Horrible things he had in his life. Each mizmor symbolized different parts of his problems in his life, and he's going, like I say, a lot deeper than what we know. There are some that say Leshlomo, which means it's tefillah on Shlomo, not only Shlomo wrote. Leshlomo means on Shlomo is praying for his, for himself. In the book of Shmuel, he's speaking about David HaMelech that was young. When he was young, what we call teenager. Yodea Nagen. What does it mean? Musician. Who was the first musician in the Torah, do you know? That he was an expert in making instruments. Huh? Yes. Tuval, in a beginning of Sefer Bereshit, we describe, right, we just read it, people who were born from Shem, Ham, and Yefet, and the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Yefet, and describe all the people, and he was the one who had all kinds of instruments, violin, all these things, some of them I don't even know how they call in English, very unique instruments of music, like nevel, that have strings, but you stand and play it.
Harp.
Harp. Harp. All these things, already in the, we're talking here, we talk, actually that's before Noach, excuse me, correction. Before Noach, that's right after Cain and Evel and Shet, the world started from Shet. After Cain killed Evel, 130 years later, Adam had another son, Shet. Everybody in the world came from him. Because all the children of Cain got killed, Evel got killed, he didn't have children. Therefore, everything really, everyone we know today came from this person named Shet. And one of his grandchildren, his name is Tuval. And he had all kinds of instruments that he was building. It was, but David HaMelech, we're talking 3,000 years ago. So it's about 2,500 years later. The question now, what's special about it? So in the book of Shmuel, it described that David HaMelech Yodea Nagen. He knows how to play. That's in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 16, verse 18. He used to play violin to who?
Shaul.
King Shaul. Saul, the king. Every time when Shaul was upset, he called him right away, and he came with his violin, play him some Persian music. You know, all this Arabic music that you find in the last 1,000 years in a world that some of them became classic and famous and have millions of viewers and listeners. All the Arabic, Middle Eastern, Persian, Arabic, Bukharian, all these Middle Eastern instruments are all coming from Beit HaMikdash. Then Leviim, they had a choir in Beit HaMikdash. They were playing all these instruments. We can see David HaMelech, it's 3,000 years before there were Arabs in the world. There was only Ishmael shortly before him. Before there was an Arab nation and became into nations, David HaMelech already had these instruments. Also, we read in the Torah that there was instruments before. So what do we see here? Before Avraham Avinu, before Ishmael, there was already these instruments in the world. In Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara described the singing of the Leviim that it's breathtaking. When a person come in, no matter what atmosphere he came from or mood, just listening to the music, you feel the presence of Hashem. Music, by the way, is something very, very spiritual. After Torah, the next spiritual thing in a creation is music. Nothing comes near Torah, just like music. The Gaon Mivilna was an expert in musical notes and all the secrets of music. And he said that if people would know the secrets of music, they will go crazy for the brilliance in it. We only listen to it and we enjoy it. But this chandelier doesn't like Shiurei Tehillim. So maybe you adjust it already because it happened last week. Yeah. So the question now, when a person comes into Beit HaMikdash and hears the music, it's like taking his neshama out. It's like incredible. And then obviously he does tshuva and he gets to happiness. Same thing over here. Shaul HaMelech is calling David to play for him. There was a famous story about one conductor of an orchestra that he couldn't make it to one of the concerts. So they got somebody just as good to replace him in the last minute. So when they played him the recording, not one person ever felt there's a difference. Everything was exactly the same. And he said, there's a problem here. They told him what? He said, there was only 8 violin players, not 9 like I asked. They told him, are you serious? Where do you hear it? He said, I'm telling you. Go and check. Check that all 9 showed up. They came back and said, you're right. One of them in the last minute got sick, so we had to manage without him. No one in the world was able to tell the difference in the music. Final music sounds exactly the same. 8 or 9, who cares? But he was able, the little things that the 9th one had to do, here and there some, he already knew how to detect it. Why? As an expert in music. Same thing in Gemara. Not everyone is the same. Somebody learns Gemara 20 years. Someone who learns Gemara 80 years, not the same. You may say, come on, Rabbi, after 20 years, that's it. You know the whole Gemara. You know the concept. You know how to explain the words. You know the questions. You know the answers. You know everything. What? 20 years you learn from morning to night, 15 hours a day. What more you can get? Not the same. There are things that after you learn 50 times, you see. It's very deep. It goes so deep. The more you learn it, the more you see. It's incredible how deep it can go. You can learn one page in Gemara all your life, and it will still not be boring with some commentaries on it. One page. It's so deep. Today, most of the learners, they learn in a more simple way. They're not digging inside. There are so many layers to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. In yeshivot in Israel that learn according to Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul, which was the biggest chacham in the Sephardi world until 15 or 18 years ago when he passed away, besides being a big Kabbalist and a huge tzaddik, it was a brain that once in a century maybe you find. Very, very deep, incredible learning, very, very serious learning. Every letter, every detail, comparing all the commentaries. Incredible learning. In 1 year, they finished the yeshiva 9 pages. 9 years of 15 hours a day learning. 9 pages. That's all. Today, someone wants to learn a lot, you can do 9 pages in 2-3 days. 1 year. Why? Such a serious learning. And they say to you that if you learn in any other way, you don't even learn. And all these people say, oh, I just finished Masechet in 1 month. Oh, I finished Masechet in 3 weeks. Okay, you finished Masechet. Let's test you on a Masechet. You won't know 1 question from 100. You learn serious. But it's go deeper and deeper and deeper. So that's when you come to someone like Rav Ezra Atiyah, Rosh Yeshivat Porat Yosef. He had a lot of chachamim in his yeshiva, Rav Ovadia Yosef, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, all kinds of other huge talmidei chachamim, sfaradim. But the Rav, Rav Ezra Atiyah, he was able to not to say to them things that they couldn't see. Later in their age, they also got to this level, but we see it's exactly the same thing. So here, music, besides Torah, music affects the mood of the person tremendously. Can make you happy, can make you sad, can make you close to Hashem, can make you go away from Hashem. Depend on the source of the music, depend on the words, and depend on the actual playing. It's very interesting. It's very, very deep. First, who wrote the music? Who invented it? He had this inspiration on him. Second, who played the music? Even if somebody holy wrote the music, now depends who is playing the music. If a very bad spiritual person is playing the music, and somebody good holy wrote the music, it doesn't mean that now you're getting the great inspiration of the writer, which was a holy person, when someone filthy is playing it. Or the other way around. Sometimes the music was written by some Nazi, like there's one Wagner Nazi musician, worldwide known musician, anti-Semite Nazi, support murderers. He writes music, you listen to his music, you get some of his personality into your neshama. But what happened if a rabbi will play it right now? It's very big things according to Kabbalah. We today, when we sing in a Sephardic shul, many of the melodies come from Arabic composers, from Egyptian, from all kinds of things, from the Arab world. In the Ashkenazim, it comes from all kinds of other music, opera, all kinds of other melodies. There's a question in halacha, are you allowed to take music that was written by a wicked person and change the words into holy Hebrew words and now use the same music that this Rasha wrote to praise Hashem? There's a big question about it. There's big arguments about it. Today, we are lenient about it, but not everyone agrees. Some people make big deal out of it. If you begin to sing some of these non-Jewish songs and you change the words into Jewish words, they don't want to hear it. They get very angry. Now, the Belze Rebbe, the head rabbi of Belz, he said that all the teenagers from the yeshiva has to turn in their MP3 player, even though it's all Hasidic music. Because it came to his attention that all this Hasidic music, it's all Goyish songs, that they took the melody and put Yiddish words in it. When it comes to his understanding now, he decided no music is allowed at all, because the music of today's generation making damages to the soul. You understand? However, I'm going by what is the common minhag. The common minhag, that in the biggest yeshivot and in the biggest shuls, if they play music that came from a source that is not Jewish, but the words are holy, they closed their eyes and did not make a big deal out of it. So David HaMelech used to come to play for Shaul and used to take the Tanakh say, the bad spirit out of Shaul. What does it mean, bad spirit? What we call in Hebrew, mara shchora. And a person is sinking into some kind of depression. Depression is a very general word. It can be described in many, many different ways. What is it? Sadness? Is that a person became cold and indifferent and he doesn't care if the world will be destroyed, he doesn't care. Is that means depression? Is depression means that he has no desire to do anything ordinary? What does it mean, depression? The word depression, you have different kinds of depression. You have someone who is depressed, so he wants to lay in bed all day and he doesn't care, he doesn't make money, he loses money, he left with nothing, doesn't care about nothing. Some people are not like that. They work, they kill themselves, they function as usual, but they constantly have a broken heart. They're in depression, which means they're not in a mood to go to weddings, they're not in a mood to listen to music, they're not in a mood to get into conversation with anyone. They do what they must do, but they function. But they don't want to socialize. That's also one kind of depression. can be different, many different ways of depression. Depression also means that a person can be sinking into thoughts and everything around him he doesn't hear. He drives, you talk to him, after 5 minutes he wake up from his sad dream. What did you say? For 5 minutes you talk. And he's thinking about the shidduch that he doesn't have. I know someone like that. You always have to make sure when you talk to him that I have to go in front of his eyes like this to make sure he's here. Why? Because all he thinks about is his shidduch that he doesn't have. That's it, for constantly, just that. Nothing else care, he cares about. Just shidduch. You give him shidduch, he'll come back to life. Some people, money. They had money, it was taken away. All their life, they'll be in depression. Why? No emunah in Hashem. Stupidity, foolishness. No emunah, they don't know it's for their own good. So they constantly said. Some people, if they don't get respect, they become depressed. So people react differently. But there are also kinds of depression that comes from material damages. What they call manic depression. The brain does not create enough chemical to create balance in the brain. So a person go very, very hyper and then collapse completely and cannot function anymore. And then needs medication to balance it. So even though it's some kind of a chemical problem that the scientists can show you that the brain does not create what it needs to create, the question is, what caused him to have it? The answer is spiritual sickness. All physical sickness come from spiritual sicknesses first. Spirituality dominate and control the physic part of our body. That's why it's very good to laugh a lot. To relax, it takes away the tension, less heart attack. Fear creates heart attack. How the heart all of a sudden stops to work because you have something in your mind. Or gaining weight, losing weight, even eating the same exact food. It's affecting the entire body. The metabolism all of a sudden works slow. It's a chain reaction, how the body, it's all come from the mind. Which means you have to cure the mind. How do you cure the mind? The best way to cure the mind is Torah. Well, what happens if the person does not learn Torah? Music. Music, it's a very good therapy. If Shaul HaMelech, that was so holy and learned Torah all his life, he still needed David to come and play violin for him. Then you see that even someone that is a big rabbi, the music can still take away the tension and the sadness away from him. So, as I said before, Yuval was the first one that mentioned in the Torah as musician. The Torah called him Avi, the father, called Tofes Kinor Ve'ugav. Kinor, Ugav, it's another instrument, and everything else. He knew how to make them and to play in them. David HaMelech is another famous musician in the Torah. There's a few other musicians that mentioned in the Tanakh. But perhaps the main one is King David. Besides his holiness, besides of being a hero and a warrior and a soldier and a big Talmid Chacham and a prophet, was also a musician. And Mashiach come from him, not just another person. For us to understand that when we read his Mizmorim, we are connecting to his Neshama. It's a great honor to be connected to such a legend. In case you do not understand, if you take all the holy people you know in the world, the real holy one, now the ones who bow down to the cow and have a turban on their head, they think they're holy, but they are filthy, not holy. All the real holy people in the world, you take them and you combine them together, cannot reach the level of King David alone in his level. The neshama of David HaMelech. Then, Book of Tehillim also have prophecies in it. Some prophecies are well known. Some prophecies we're still discovering today in our time. For instance, Alexander Bell invented telephone. What's special about telephone? It's wires all over the world, wires, and people hear your voice on the other side of the world. That's how you define telephone, no? Somebody speaks here, there is a wire who takes his voice all the way from here. Today it's satellites, but in the old-fashioned way, it takes it to the other side of the world. Wires, or to the other side of the country, through wire, electric. Electric signal go, and somebody hears the voice on the other side. It's a huge miracle. How in this metal line my voice transferred to Los Angeles in less than a second? We take it for granted. We used to it. Or in the air, cell phone. You know what a miracle is this? If Moshe Rabbeinu would wake up now and see people holding a little box and talking, it would look like this and say to Hashem, you sure you brought me to the right world? They will not believe all the things we have today. I always think when there's going to be Tchiyat HaMetim, if we don't have the merit to survive, when Mashiach comes, if we won't be righteous enough, we won't survive. We will only survive if we'll keep all the laws of the Torah and we'll be serious, not joke, serious. But I'm saying to myself, if Chas V'Shalom we won't survive, at least hope that Hashem would leave us here for an hour just to see these faces of this legend, King David, Shaul HaMelech, Avraham Avinu, David HaMelech, all these people, just to see who they were, to see their real image. But not only that, to see their shock on their face when they see the way the world turned. Don't worry, they won't see all the naked women on the street. They won't see all the people with weird haircuts and goatees and earring over here. They gotta get wiped out completely. They will only come to the world after Hashem will purify the world, just like it was in a flood, that the world got a mikveh. But this time it's going to be a different kind of mikveh. Like Rabbi Akiva says, Ashrechem Israel, how lucky you, the nation of Israel, mi metaher etchem, who purify you? The source of purity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, directly purify you. That's what Hashem says, Zarakti alechem mayim teorim, I'm going to throw holy water on you and purify all of you. But that's after screening all the wicked people. So they won't see all these wicked people that we live with, in case we're not one of them. But one thing here will be a big shock when they see cars. Oh, this box is moving. What's going on? It will be a very big shock for them. Computer, telephone, wires. They won't understand what's happening. So in Tehilim it says, "Bechol haaretz yatza kavam, uvekze tevel milehem." What's the translation of these words? In all the land, lines went through, lines, wires, all over. And on the other side of the land, the voice. You speak here, there's lines going all over, lines, telephone lines. And in the other side of the world, you hear the words. How can it be? It's 3,000 years ago. But there are other things. He's speaking about the destruction of the temple. How could he write about the destruction of the temple 1,000 years before it happened? Or even hundreds of years before it happened, in description. So one, as we're going to the Mizmorim, today it's only the introduction. As of later, we're going to start going one by one and explain each one what it means. It's very inspiring, Mizmorim. So it says like this. There are two faces to the book of Tehillim, to the songs. One face is prayers, person speaking to his God, but also prophecies and words that come from holy vision. Ruach HaKodesh. So it's like a person is speaking, like is God speaking to a person. Because it's words of prophecy, words of Ruach HaKodesh. It's like Hashem is speaking to us from these writers of those songs. We're not going to go too deeply into the Nevuot here. As we read the Mizmorim, we will explain them. But let's give maybe one example of what I mean. One of the jobs of the prophets of Israel in the old days were to pray to Hashem. Prophet is not only a messenger who gives a message from God to the people. He also is a representative, a king, a leader. His job is to represent the nation when he has to talk to Hashem and to pray for them. If there is a bad decree or tragedy, the words of the prophet is like a broker between the nation and Hashem. In one hand, he gives the message from Hashem to the people. On the other hand, he comes to speak for the people to Hashem, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did and others. The tefillah, it's the other side of the vision. In his vision, the prophet brings the words of God to the people. In the prayers, the prophet brings the words of the people to Hashem. It's like a two-way street. And Hashem is teaching the prophet how to pray to him. Why? How did they know how to write this beautiful mizmorim, all these amazing words? How begging to Hashem in such beautiful words. How? Where they got it from? They didn't go to college. They didn't learn Hebrew in a Hebrew university. How did they know to write such beautiful words? The answer, this is the Shekhinah. Like Hashem is speaking from their mouth, and they just like all the prophecies. They write it. This is how God wanted the history, the future, to always remain. Whatever David HaMelech wrote as he begged to Hashem for his life, for wars, for health, for enemies, for parnassah, blessing, cursing all the wicked people, all these things that you read in Tehillim, this is what Hashem wanted everyone after him in a creation to know, that this is the proper way to pray. Otherwise, everyone can pray in his own words. No. People do not know how to talk. People make grammar mistakes. People say the words not properly, especially today after more than 2,000 years. Also, people do not know what's good, what's bad, and how to request it. That's what Yov said to Hashem, you sure that you did not get confused by my name? My name is Yov, not Oyev. Oyev means enemy. Yov means his name. Same letters, different order. Yov started to see how he collapsed and he lose everything he has. He started to say to Hashem, you sure that you did not confuse me with an enemy? I'm not your enemy, I'm your follower. And the prophet of the Goyim, Yov. So, this is beautiful, how it goes both sides, that Hashem is teaching us what, how to say and what to say, and that's why this effect of this book, when the times of trouble, is tremendous. When Rav Eliashiv was fighting between life and death, mamash, like the entire Jewish world was praying and reading Tehillim for him, it kept him alive and more and more and more. The doctors couldn't understand. He was supposed to pass away already a month ago. Until some rabbi says, stop reading Tehillim, release his soul. The Tehillim is keeping the soul here. Stop, let him go to his heaven place. What's the point of forcing him here 102 years old? Release him. Well, we don't want to say goodbye to the chief rabbi of the world. So people are reading and crying. This is the power of Tehillim. I've seen hundreds of miracles by reading Tehillim, of things that happen. We're going to start the first mizmor and we finish because I have another lecture to run to. We'll do like we call a siftach, an opening. We'll explain the first mizmor. Everything will be recorded. So if you ever want to know, you go back to the recording and you go over it. And you can write in your own Tehillim with a little pencil what it means, what's the secrets here, etc. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach be'atzat reshaim. David HaMelech start his song. Ashrei, every time you say Ashrei, come from the word osher, happiness. Also lucky, but not lucky the way you think, coincidence. There's no coincidental luck. Luck in Judaism means supervision, the wish of Hashem. Hashem wanted you to make money and not the other person. There's no coincidence. It's not Russian roulette here. When we say mazal, what we mean means the wish of Hashem. What did Hashem want me to have? Good, bad, whatever, based on the way I behave. So when David HaMelech says, Ashrei ha'ish, how lucky is the person, asher lo halach be'atzat reshaim, that never followed the advice of the wicked people. Uvederech chataim lo amad, he did not stand on the, he did not follow the path of the sinners, did not stand over there, ובמושב לצים לא ישב, and he did not sit with the wicked clowns, jokers, people who everything by them is a joke, they're not taking anything serious, joke, joke, take hafif, like in Israel they have a word for it, hafif, rabbi, don't be fanatic, it's enough, this is also good. But it's very interesting because it's not, nothing here is coincidence. Remember, it's all spirit of Hashem speaking from his throat. So he starts, Asher lo alach be'atzat reshaim. Alach means to walk. Next time he say, lo amad, did not stand. Did not walk, did not stand. Uvemu yoshav letzim lo yashav, sit. To cover all different kinds of ways to make sins. Walking to place of a sin, it's a sin. Sitting with a sinner, it's a sin. Standing next to them, it's a sin. If he would not write all these three words, he would say, oh, he was talking about standing, but I'm sitting. It's not a sin. I was sitting here before they came. You have to get up and leave. If you can make them stop, better. If you know you cannot, you have to run away from them. Why? Because there's a rule. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheno. Oy to the wicked person, and oy to the one who is his neighbor. If he has a way not to be his neighbor, we're talking even for a minute, his neighbor, standing next to him a minute. When the lightning comes and kill him, you don't want to be near him. Why? It will hurt you also. But why? You're not the sinner. The fact, listen to what I tell you, is a very big advice for life. Not me, David HaMelech. If you're not allergic to the sinners, you are just as bad as them. Remember this. If you're going to a mixed dancing party and everyone dance naked there and hug and kiss and get drunk, and you walk with a yarmulke or your wife has kisui rosh and she says, Rabbi, family. And you stand over there and your heart is not burning that Sodom and Gomorrah takes place in a wedding of your nephew or your brother or your sister, instead of pulling your hair off, you're standing over there with the whiskey and your bow tie and look around at all the sinners and you're not allergic to them, check yourself very carefully. You're not much better than them. You are better than them because you're not doing what they do eventually to your own children. The fact that you are able to stand next to them, it shows that you're almost as bad as them, almost. Not as much, but almost. Why? Someone real tzaddik, he could not stand there a minute, he would faint. The Gaon Mivilna touched Mukze by mistake, he fainted immediately. Touch Mukze. He didn't plan to be Mechalel Shabbat. Accidentally touched Mukze. You know, imagine you have a toilet paper roll. You know you're not allowed to cut. But you picked it up to move it somewhere else. Oh, Mukze, I forgot. Not allowed to use it on Shabbat. And you faint right away. It shows that in a very high level. Some other people say, well, Mukze, Rabbi, wait for an hour with that. Doesn't bother them. It shows the holiness of the soul. Why, from all the possibilities that the writer had, King David, he decided to choose to open his book with this verse. Every writer opens with a bombastic statement, the best he has, the most important he has. What? To shock the people and to make them very interested to stick to his book. When a person writes a book, he wants to open in the first page with something so good, so interesting, so impacting, that is, impact the people. So he takes from all the things he has in his brilliance, he chose the best thing. Why? If I would start with something bad and boring and not so influential, some people would not even go to the second chapter, right? So not everyone has patience. So right away he started with something which is the most important thing. When you want to be righteous, you must stay away from all the sinners and the wicked people who violate the rules of God. Whether it's their neighbors, whether are your friends from high school, whether are your business colleagues, whether it's your brother, whether it's your parents, whether it doesn't matter who it is. If it's people that are sinning, knowing what they do is wrong, and it doesn't bother them, you have to do everything you can to move to a place that you don't have to live around this sin. If you can stay an influence, then it's big mitzvah. But if you know there's no way to talk to them, they make fun, you have to do everything you can to move out. Even if you're a teenager and you don't have money for rent, if you can find a place where to live with your older brother or to go to yeshiva to stay in a dorm, some bachurei yeshiva don't come home. They don't want to come home and watch the television on Shabbat. So every 3 weeks when the yeshiva goes on off Shabbos or every month, they find a friend to go to him for Shabbat. They don't go. They can. It burns their heart to come home and see how their parents behave on Shabbat. It kills them. They can't see it. So they rather never be home with their beautiful bedroom or whatever they have over there and not to see their dear relatives. Why? Because it kills them to see how they live and what kind of destruction they prepare for themselves for their future. If you love your parents, how can you see them making sins? You have to lay on the floor and cry and scream and beg and do anything for you. Stop being Mechalel Shabbat. I'll do everything for you, mother, if you dress like a human being, like not like an animal, naked like this. You're a married woman, mother of a children. You walk like a chimpanzee naked on the street. Every sick person looks at you and knows what he thinks about you. You're my mother, and you. Just to think about it, you have to faint. But the people today are so far from the truth. That's why the book of Tehillim started. Ki im betorat Hashem chefzo. Rather, instead of sitting with the wicked, or standing next to them, or walking with them on a mission, his interest is always in Hashem. Betorat Hashem, the Torah of Hashem, chefzo. Uvetorato yehege yomam valayla. And in the Torah of Hashem, he will be busy learning morning and night around the clock. V'haya ke'et shatul al palge ma'im. Is like a tree that is deep, rooted, strongly and deeply and widely inside the land, that even a hurricane cannot move this tree. Al palge ma'im is like a tree that is deeply in a place that there is river underneath. Tree that is in a desert, or in a place that it needs rain every once in a while, or tree that is right by the river, by the spring water, constantly have water. There's nothing to compare between this little tiny ugly tree that once in a blue moon it gets rain, to a tree that constantly drink is 100 times bigger, much better fruits, much sweeter, much wider, much stronger. A little wind, the other tree breaks to pieces. It doesn't have enough energy, no water. But you, if you're not sitting around the wicked people and you're not standing with them and you're not influenced by them, you run after the Torah, you are compared by King David to someone that his roots are deep in the ground, strong, stable, and constantly have water. You're not disconnected from the source of life. Asher pirio iten be'ito, that will always give fruit on time. Ve'aleu lo ibol, and the leaves will never be dry. Ve'chol asher ya'aseh yatzliach, and everything you will do in your life will be successful because you are connected to the Torah of Hashem. There's only one thing that you're allowed to be addicted to, Torah. Nothing else. People call me all the time. Oh, where? You made a new CD. We're addicted. We finished all of them. No, there's something coming. I say, relax. We'll have another one. No. We can't live without it. I already heard everything. You have anything new? Sometimes we are two hours late by putting the lectures in the evening, the last night lecture. Like this lecture will be on tomorrow night. Usually it comes around 10 o'clock. Sometimes it gets delayed. You know, it's not depend on us until you to posting it and all this. So it may take 2 more hours and sometimes 1 o'clock. You should see how many emails I get. Where is the lecture? Why, you didn't give lecture last night? Because people not from New York, they sit and counting the hours. When is the lecture come? Because they can't live without it. Oh, now you know, these people, Baruch Hashem, they're in the right direction. The Torah, it's their drug. They can't live without it. The difference between chemical drug to the Torah, chemical drug sends you express to hell. The Torah sends you express to heaven. And it's much cheaper. It's much cheaper, it's free. So, mamash, before we finish, lo ken arshaim, not like that, the wicked people. The wicked people are not like that. Ki im kamotz asher titfenu haruach. The wicked people are like straw that in one wave of wind fly all over and have no stability and no nothing. Al ken lo yakumu reshaim b'mishpat. Therefore, the wicked people will not have existence in a time of the trial. V'chataim be'adat tzadikim, and the sinners will not have existence among the righteous people. He's talking about the life of eternity. After the trial, the final trial, when a person dies, the wicked people will not be able to be near their dear parents that were righteous, or children that were righteous, or brothers that were righteous, or neighbors. They're not going to be with them. Hashem, it's my cousin. Take me with him. Your cousin goes to heaven, and you're not going there. He did what I say to do, and you're not. Now you pay the price. Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim. Hashem knows and supervises the way of the righteous people. V'derech reshaim toved. And the ways of the wicked people leads to destruction. This is the first mizmor on Tehilim. First mizmor. The message, stay away from bad environment. Stay away from bad society. Stay away from bad neighborhoods. Stay away from bad partners. Stay away from bad relatives. Even if you stay with only two, three, or four friends in your whole world, better than to have thousands of friends and they're all wicked. We have a say in Hebrew, Emor li mi chavercha ve'omar lecha mi ata. Tell me who your friends are, and I tell you who you are. Someone that is big Talmid Chacham, he can sit with the clowns with the tattoos and the earrings here in a restaurant in Main Street and eat steaks. You'll never see such thing. Did you ever see big Chacham, big real Chacham, big tzaddik, holy, that will sit on a Main Street like a baboon in a window and eat like this with people who have all these tattoos and all kinds of strange hair? You never see it. If you see a table in a restaurant, you see all the Chachamim from the yeshiva together. You don't find. You come to someone like Chacham Ovadia and say, Rabbi, there's a group of people, earrings, this, that, they want you to sit in a restaurant. You won't agree. You say, let's go in a place, quiet place, in a house, I'll give them a shiur. Not sit and eat with them. Eating makes communication, connection between the souls, between person to person, makes friendship. That's why in America they learn the trick. You want the customer to sign, take him to a good lunch. Buy him good whiskey or good wine, good steak, let him choose the restaurant. You know, why? Don't worry, the $300 you put, the company puts, will pay a lot better later on. Why? Connection by sitting and eating together, it's much stronger than just talking. You should know that. That's why it's mitzvah for husbands and wife to sit at least once a day and eat together. If they can't do it in the morning, so at least in the evening, he comes from work, yeah, he can eat by watching television, and she can be in a kitchen, or she ate before, or she will eat after, or she runs to errands. But they have to do as much as they can, that the family sit even for 20 minutes together. Baruch Hashem, we have Shabbat. It connects the whole family, everyone sits on the table, it makes connection. Eating together on a table makes very strong connection between people, for good and for bad. If it's wicked people, it also makes you connected with those wicked people. But if it's good people, and you sit and you eat with them, then obviously you get Baruch Hashem the good for that. We will see you Bezrat Hashem on next Wednesday. Please try to make it on time, 8 o'clock. Today I was here a few minutes before 8. 8 o'clock sharp, that I'll be able by 9:20 to be out of here. Baruch Adonai Leolam, amen ve'amen.